in the interest of time, let's move to the Constitution, please.
Lovely. So I might bring my colleagues in here, Sam Prestige and Henry Rees, both of whom have been working in our governance part of our foundation. They are the two who have really been working thoroughly through the responses we've seen to the constitution changes. So they're the proponents of the PAC. So if I may bring Sam and Henry in, I'd like to see them take us through the discussion. I think clearly, Bill, there's some comments that have already come through here, so we'll endeavour to try and tie those up or at least explore them further as we do.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's move to your colleagues.
Lovely.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Bill. Just trusting everyone can hear me. I'll remain off camera because I'm having a few sort of internet mishaps, so forgive me for that, council members. But just as a reminder, we're sort of focusing in this session on agenda paper three. Purpose of the session we've sort of already touched upon and is outlined on slide two there, but the specific areas for consideration for this particular element of the discussion are the objective of the IFRS Foundation and its naming and branding in the context of the IFRS Foundation's constitution. So both Erky and Lee and through the discussions we've sort of touched upon much of what is covered in slides 3 to 8 in terms of timing and various other elements. But just to emphasise that we were once again very pleased with the diversity of responses across geographies and stakeholder groups, which slides 7 and 8 of the PAC do in fact highlight. So moving on to look at slide 9 in the interests of time. The diverse level of response that I've already alluded to was very much supported by a significant level of support for the establishment of the proposed new IISSB under the Foundation's governance and with the proposed strategic direction that the trustees have outlined. There is, of course, some very important nuance in much of the feedback, and we, myself and Henry and others, are continuing to analyse and engage with the trustees. And for example, on certain provisions which may not be aligned to those of the IASB and may be, in fact be transitionary in nature. But really, the key element in much of the feedback that we've received and that we'd appreciate and has already gained quite a bit of focus today, but we would really appreciate council members' focus on in this particular session, is how best to articulate the idea of interconnectivity between the two boards, with many noting, as led to the discussion today, this is arguably the most compelling reason for the Foundation to establish the proposed IISSB, was to further connect accounting standards and sustainability-related requirements to meet the information needs of investors. So looking at slide 10, and really to set the scene for today's discussion, as we are analysing the feedback received, we really believe it is important that the Constitution conveys that the proposed IISSB's work is an extension of the Foundation's objective to meet those information needs of investors, and indeed the responses to the trustees' consultation through its project on sustainability have really emphasised that, as we've all discussed today. And really understand how the ISB and the IISSB can work together to set those requirements that provide the coherent relationship between financial reporting and sustainability-related reporting. But of course, this evolving objective of the Foundation also needs to be supported by its branding, and we'll discuss that in more detail shortly. But ultimately, today's session, while we focus in on this, we really appreciate your ongoing reflections and consideration about how the Constitution can articulate the Foundation's objective and how its branding, again, can reflect that. So I'll just hand over to Henry Rees now. He'll go into some further detail on the objective piece. We'll pause for some questions and comments on that, and then we'll get to the naming and branding shortly after that. So Henry, you can take it away from slide 11.
Thank you, Sam. Yes, so just very quickly, just to tee this piece up, the first area we were looking to get your feedback on is around the objective And what you have on slide 11 is what was proposed in the consultation. And I think, in effect, when you look at that, you can see that the way that we proposed doing that was to sort of, was really to add a separate objective to cover the ISSB's work. And you can see that in paragraph 2B there, and how that very much parallels the existing objective for the ISSB's work. So when we're thinking about the feedback that we received on the objective, and just reflecting on the two points that Sam highlighted on slide 10, and particularly that theme around interconnectivity, we've been thinking, you know, is there a way to refine that proposed objective that you've got on slide 11? And so I think, bearing in mind those comments about particularly interconnectivity, we'd really appreciate your views now on whether it would be better to, if you like, instead of creating that effect of having almost like separate objectives to the two boards' work, you know, should we more clearly try to articulate a single objective for the foundation that promotes a more holistic view of the foundation's work of meeting the overall information needs of investors? In other words, you know, would that, if we did that, would that better convey the sense that there should be a coherent relationship between the two board standard setting work? And that sense is that, you know, there will be two sets of standards working in combination, and it's through the combination of those standards that the investors will get, you know, a more complete set of information that is useful to their decision making. So just conscious of the time, I think I'll pause there, Bill, and hand it over to you to now get some views from the council about that first piece about the objective, and maybe is there a way that it could be sort of reframed at a higher level and focus more clearly on a sort of single objective for the foundation?
Very good. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Sam. Okay, floor is open. I think Sam and Henry have positioned this very nicely. Would it be best to articulate a single objective, an overarching objective for the two boards? Let's hear from Nigel and then from Leslie. Nigel.
Thanks, Bill. And thanks, Henry, for presenting and articulating the proposed, or what you are thinking, at least right now. I guess my while I understand sort of what the objective is in perhaps having a single objective, more singular high level objective, I think I would just raise sort of a potential flag of concern of in one area in particular. To ensure that even as you consider, you know, sort of bringing both together into one singular objective, which seems, you know, it seems plausible on one end, I think there needs to be a constant reminder that the work of the board of the ISSB should not be somehow impacted by this new board that's coming into place. And I think even as we think about, you know, having a singular objective, I think there is also that that risk that this concern can increase in intensity when you start putting both together under, you know, some sort of singular objective. I think we just have to be careful that the work of the ISSB is not duly impacted because now we have this sort of, you know, singular thing we bring in under both, under the foundation.
Thank you, Nigel. Well put. Let us hear from Leslie and then Osman. Leslie, please.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. So I view these things as related. The prior discussion under the agenda paper 3 and 3A, they're related to the branding. And I echo Nigel's concern that an overarching concern of the trustees should be that the development of the new board doesn't undermine the progress that's been made by the IASB. And when I see an overarching objective, I think to the general acceptance of the terms in the objective and whether bringing activities under the ISSB are going to change the meaning or interpretation of any of these terms. So there's already a great deal of confusion about the word materiality and what the definition is, and should it be interpreted differently with respect to financial standards or sustainability standards. But we also have the words of global acceptance, understandable, enforceable, comparable, consistent, that are used in the overall objective, but are also in the conceptual framework that exists for financial reporting standards, but does not exist for sustainability supporting standards. So by making it even parallel, yet alone putting it under the common umbrella, it's not providing room to develop a sound and coherent conceptual framework for sustainability standards that needs to be developed and will potentially differ greatly from the conceptual framework for financial reporting standards. Thank you.
Good. Very good, Leslie. Thank you very much. Osman, over to you, and then Sybil. Osman.
Thanks, Rilo. I mean, I think the speaker before me, Leslie, said it really, really well, and I completely agree with everything that she said with regard to the lack of attraction of having a single objective. I think, you know, the concept of enforceability in IFRS standards is really well made. So I don't think it would be helpful at this stage as a single objective for the two boards. But I think one thing that perhaps looking at slide 11 that's perhaps missing in terms of articulating the need for interconnectivity between the two boards. So, you know, we don't have much modification to paragraph 2A with regard to kind of interconnectivity with the ISSB or whatever the new board is going to be called. I do think that is important. I think there are elements that are important to financial reporting that touch on sustainability that the IFRS board would be taking forward, and that would need a level of communication that should be articulated in the consultation, IFRS Foundation's objectives. I think that's quite important. But I think for all the reasons that Leslie and also the speaker before, Leslie Nigel, kind of touched on, I don't think it would be helpful to have a single objective.
Thank you, Osman. Let's hear from Sybil and then I.
Actually, I thought that it is linked in a sense that whether should the IFRS trademark should be used for further initiatives. I am in favor of continuing to use IFRS trademark for further works. It reflects best the foundation interest on the sustainability issue well by emphasizing relevance to the financial reporting. This choice also suits with the perspective of sustainability continuity, since it's in a sense promoting the continuity of the image of financial reporting. Also, the IFRS brand might be empowered and the awareness of the new board might be promoted by showing reporting environments widening perspective. This strategy also might pave the way for future or further investments in the future. Finding general common grounds with the current board and the prospective new board in that sense, while just naming them afterwards, indicating minor specific diversified goals might be considered while reviewing the constitution. I also consider that alignment or interlink between the two boards might be more visible. Both boards would be working under the foundation, so the foundation might be considered a level to oversee the link and support cooperation to create expected synergies in between these boards. However, still a specific advisor or technical institutional body might be considered to instrumentalize that link between these boards for their ensuring their continuity of cooperation. Even addition of some provisions to the protest process might be considered. as well. But I think that these amendments cannot be made immediately, but should be considered to be included in the constitution or due process while learning from the experiences of operationalization of the new board. Thank you.
Thank you, Sibylle. I'll give you the floor in just one moment, but I want to encourage people to have a look at the comments that people are making in the chat room. Thank you for example, Bileng says she supports Nigel's view in the interest of time management, because this is a rich discussion. We have many speakers to go, and we still have Sue and Nick's agenda item after this. I know staff, Sam and Henry, Lee and others are looking closely at these comments. So if you do prefer to make a written comment rather than ask for the floor, that's just as valid as taking the floor. We are looking at those comments. So, okay. Thank you, Sibylle. Aiko, over to you, and then we'll hear from Ken.
Yeah, thank you very much. I have no time to write, so I will say. I agree with the comment that the proposed constitution gives the impression of two boards working independently. And therefore, if a single objective is well articulated, it could easily show that the ISSB's work is extension of the IFRS Foundation's objective. And the coherence and connectivity between accounting and sustainability related requirements for the benefit of investors. However, in doing so, I think we should be very, very careful to change the existing objective of IFRS Foundation. In the current draft, the objective of ISB's work is very similar to, but has some difference with that for the ISB's work. Therefore, if those are integrated, I think that it might be unavoidable to change the existing objective of IFRS Foundation, and such change might cause great discussion. Considering the current timing when we should finalize the constitution soon, I think that it is better not to articulate a single objective and to promote the interconnectivity between the work of the two boards and their standards, and to reflect that foundation establishing a new board to set standards on sustainability query related discussion is an evaluation of its existing objective, reflecting evolving information needs of investors. Thank you.
Thank you, Aiko. Good evening, Ken. How are you doing? The floor is yours.
Good evening. Thank you, Bill. Yes, I'd also like to put my voice in support of continuing with the similar to having the objective set out here, because firstly, I believe the outputs of the IFRS are going met through the boards, and so setting out this way makes it clear what the respective roles of the two boards are, and I think that's valuable. I think the consistency of wording between the two, the A and B, is provides a basis for which you would expect there to be coordination and synergy and consistency between the boards. And that could be expressed somewhere else. I don't think it's actually necessarily part of the objectives. And I think it's really useful to have the objectives. Effectively, what this does is it sets out the objectives of the two boards, and that is a helpful thing to do. I do have one suggestion to B. You talk in the line there about globally accepted sustainability standards. I think we actually really mean sustainability reporting standards. Just as we don't talk about financial standards, we talk about financial reporting standards. Sustainability standards might be something that governments impose, but they're not something that we're actually looking to do through this process. And so I think sustainability reporting standards reflects that and actually brings a bit more consistency with A.
Right. Thank you, Ken. Well said.
Bill?
Yeah.
Sorry. I wasn't quite sure how to cut in, but would you mind if I just make one comment reflecting on what I've heard so far? So just like to thank council members for, you know, a very rich set of comments. I'm sure there's more to come. But I suppose I just wanted to emphasize one point, which is, although we were thinking of trying to, you know, articulate a more common objective, we certainly will still need to articulate, you know, the respective roles of the two boards. And we certainly don't intend to lose, you know, the role for the ISB. So, you know, that's something that we certainly had in mind in what we were thinking. And maybe, you know, if you do have concerns about what we're thinking here, and perhaps losing more of that sort of sense about how it's articulated on slide 11, perhaps just for those of you still coming in, think about, well, would it still be worth trying to articulate something, you know, a higher level objective for the foundation to sort of go over that, if you know what I mean? So it's perhaps instead of sort of saying in place of, something that sort of binds it before you have something on the two boards individually. But thank you.
Good. Henry, that's a very useful clarification. Thank you for that. Okay, let's turn to Feng, and then we'll go to Christian.
Okay, thank you, Bill. As our time is urgent, I would comment slides 12 and 14 together. We generally support the naming of the new board and the standards to be set, but we don't believe it's better to articulate a single objective. We have three reasons for this. Firstly, we think ISB and SSB have different focus. One is for financial reporting standards, while the other is for non-financial reporting standards. We think the information produced through these two sets of standards are quite different in nature, and the stakeholders are also not always the same. So we think it's inadequate to combine the objectives into a single one just because the information needs of investors. The second point is the separate objectives can better describe the objectives and function of each board, therefore better guide each board's standard setting work. And another advantage is to avoid unnecessary trouble for future amendments to the constitution. Finally, we noted both the paragraph 2A and 2B in the current proposal have emphasized the objective to help investors and other participants in the world's capital markets in their decision making. We believe this has clearly demonstrated the interconnectivity between the two boards and the common objective of serving the information needs of investors. That's all. Thank you.
Very good, Fang. Thank you very much. Let's hear from Christian and then Tanya. But first, Christian.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I believe if we are talking about independent boards, they need to have independent objectives. Having said that, I think you could build an objective on top of that, articulating that the foundation's objective is to develop in the public interest a coherent set of relevant reporting standards with the focus groups that they had. Then in terms of the specific wording on slide 11, maybe I would suggest that after the sentence on the clearly articulated principles, I would add, and coherent with other IFS reporting standards. So I would make it part of the objective for both boards, actually, to state that their standards have to be coherent with other IFS developed standards. That still allows a lot of flexibility to adjust the fundamental principles, etc., to target the individual users and challenges in both standard setters, but it would require you to have a coherent thinking. And therefore, the suggestion would also be to change some of the constitutional objectives for IASB, as they have to take into consideration the fact there will be a sister board if this goes on. Which brings me to the other point. somewhere down the route, you have to ensure that there are resources for coordination available, whether that is coordination of strategic work plans, so they are linked in timing. There will be joint projects, maybe one led by one board, one led by the other board, that may have effect on standards of the other board, that they have to have conforming amendments or similar processes. My point is simply that takes resources from both boards, and that has to be factored in the work plans if they have to be somewhat coherent. So coherence takes time, it's also worth the effort. But the underlying fact is they have to remain independent, both boards. But the advice is that you also reflect on the fact that they have to do something that is coherent with the sister boards they are under the umbrella of.
Good. Thank you, Christian. And Tanya, I'll give you the floor in a second. Just a reminder, please, do have a look at the comments in the chat room. We've got a comment from Maria Angeles, as well as one from Bi Leng. And Bi Leng supports the original statement from Nigel, which is to not support a single objective. But over to you, Tanya, and then we'll hear from Torsten.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'll try and be brief, and obviously lots of comments have come afterwards. I guess in principle, my concern of trying to create one objective is that there are different objectives for the two boards, and that by trying to merge the two, you're going to either try and shift the IWSB in one direction or the ISB in the other direction. So either way, you're still going to have an A and a B to deal with the two different boards, and with that in mind, I think it's better to try and leave the focus, certainly in terms of the broadly of where they're at. You know, even trying to pull up some common points, that is the best that I would say if there is this huge desire to merge them. I do think that there needs to be better clarity, though, certainly in some of the objectives as they sit at the IWSB, because it's not clear why those differences are coming through. And perhaps that would be sort of a better focus. I'm not sure in terms of the timing how we're getting to it, but I do think that interconnectivity can be better served in different ways, as opposed to changing the objective in terms of the branding or the working. Ultimately, interconnectivity is one thing, they're not the same thing. This is not one standard setting board, and so by having two separate objectives, it remains clear that you're not trying to shove or pull the ISB in a direction or the ISSB in a different direction. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Tanya. Torsten, the floor is yours, then we'll hear from Martin Boss.
Yes, thank you, Bill. To me, it seems that the notions of connectivity and coherence almost presume a common overarching objective, overarching at least. To me, a focus on enterprise value requires information that allows investors to assess the amount, timing, and uncertainty of the firm's future cash flows. And this is what the IFRS financial statement and notes are about. They're about presenting management's point estimates of these future cash flows and how they are reflected in the firm's assets and liabilities and their changes during the period. And then motivated by the same overarching objective, sustainability-related financial disclosure could then provide additional information about the uncertainty, especially related to the long-term uncertainty surrounding those point estimates, and as well as those items that don't yet qualify for recognition. But here's my concern that I have. Look, if in a world where firms increasingly come under pressure from markets, from regulators, from societal actors, for the environmental and social externalities that they're producing, how do we argue that a given sustainability-related issue, like emissions, for example, is environmentally or socially material, but not expected ever to affect enterprise value? So wouldn't anything that companies do to the environment, to society, positively or negatively, ultimately in the long run end up being expected to affect future cash flows? So where do we draw the line is essentially my question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Martin Boss, and then Barbara McGowan. Martin, please.
Thank you, thank you. I see quite a bit of merit in Henry Rees' approach, where there is an overarching purpose for the foundation, and subsequently there are two objectives, an objective for the one board and for the other. And the good thing about this, it feels, I think, more future-proof. Somehow, the objective of the ISSB with a focus on sustainability raises a lot of questions about, okay, where does sustainability end? And does business model, for example, comprise sustainability? Some may not. And I think in the overarching objective, you could just specify that the purpose of the foundation is to serve ultimately the information needs of investors. And then you do not have the risk that certain topics at this moment we may not be have a full clarity on are in the coming years more or less dismissed because of not meeting the objective of the foundation. So I see merit in the approach that Henry Rees raised. Yeah, thank you.
Good. Thank you, Martin. Okay, Barbara, and then yeah. Giuseppe.
Yeah, thank you. I requested the floor, Bill, before many of the comments appeared. Specifically, we support the independent boards, and we agree that they naturally should have two different objectives, which would highlight the different focus and the distinction. And we further support the interconnectivity. So just to add what has already been said.
Thank you, Barbara. And again, the comments we are getting, the written comments, are really important, very rich. I acknowledge the comment made by Catherine Tillman, an old friend of mine. She's representing the Basel Committee today. Thank you for that, Catherine. Let us hear now from Giuseppe. Ciao, Giuseppe.
I don't need the floor. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. I've been reading the comments as they've been coming in fast and furiously. Sam and Henry, if I take a stab at trying to summarize the comments we've heard, I think the one thing people have highlighted, of course, is the need for interconnectivity. And a single objective, some have said, is plausible, but there is concern also about the impact that a single objective would have on the IASB. And I think what we're hearing is that it's not necessary to have a single objective. It is, as Ken has put it, the need to be consistent in the language in both boards' objectives. So different boards, different objectives, but make sure that there is a consistency and a coherence within the language that that defines the objectives. Sam or Henry or Lee, would you like to respond, or is there a need for further clarification?
Bill, thank you. I thought that was a helpful summary. I hear the concern. So there's a lot there to sort of process around that. Because I was trying to read the chat and listen, I'm not sure I picked everything up. But I think all the comments were clear, and we will certainly be able to use that as we work through this problem. I do think that, you know, ultimately when you look at those objectives of the two boards, I mean, they're both, as they were proposed, they are very broadly expressed. And I think, you know, there's a significant degree of commonality of the language. But the critical point is the serving of the investors and of the capital market participants. And so, I had thought that was the reason really why I was thinking more to articulate that high level objective for the foundation, and then go on to sort of talk about the, you know, the almost like the responsibilities of the two boards, so we won't lose anything. But I'll stop dabbling away there and process the feedback. But thank you very much on that. I don't know whether Sam wants to sort of just sort of, if there's any time, just to pick up on any other comments people have on the branding and the names.
Yeah, absolutely, Henry. I can, if that's all right with you, Bill, as well. And just to reiterate something that sort of came up early in that discussion on objective around perhaps unduly impacting the work of the IASB, and that's a vitally important point, and that the trustees need to be aware. But the trustees have had that as a key requirement for success of this proposed new board from day one. So that is right front and centre of all their thinking when it comes to even, you know, down to the intricate detail of the proposed objective in the constitution. So just to reiterate that important point. But on branding and objective, we go back to just the last couple of slides of the presentation. Slide 13, and we've already had some comments relating to the branding, so thanks for those already. But you can see how this really sort of leads on from the discussion we've just had. How do we articulate this interconnectivity piece whilst also acknowledging that the two boards have their own work to do within that piece? So slide 13 summarises essentially what was proposed in April in terms of naming and branding. And the rationale here essentially was to retain the name of the foundation and the existing board, the IASB, using the IFRS name, which carries, of course, significant brand equity, and particularly maintaining the IFRS brand against both sets of the standards that are being produced. And that, again, is, of course, to emphasise that interconnectivity between the work of the two boards. So really, again, just any further advice that you can give us, and I appreciate we're pressed for time, but and we can receive these in writing as well, of course, but, you know, further consideration about how this impacts the brand, considering the evolution of the foundation's objective, which we've discussed in detail, and that need to reflect the interconnectivity between the two boards. So further comments, very much welcome, both verbally and in written form. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Sam and Henry. I wonder, and here's a technical question, so perhaps Simon, you could help me with this. The written comments that people have made in the chat room, I thought were really very rich. And if there is a way to capture these comments, we could reflect on them after the meeting, but I would like to. So I've read them all. They have been coming in very quickly, and I do wonder if there is a way for us to preserve them, to capture them. That would be really very helpful.
Bill, I do have them captured, actually, so far, and I will capture any more.
That's great. Thank you very much. And Jenny, you're way ahead of me, as always. This is such an important discussion. I am very focused on time. I think we will take a 5-minute break in just a moment. But let me turn to Martin. This seems to me like a two-handed intervention. You'd like to respond to Henry. So Martin, go ahead, and then James.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And just probably it's a little bit curious, that idea, but for me the question also is with regard to the objective. Can that at a later point of time be an issue with regard to funding if you have only one objective for the foundation? Because we know we have to deal with different jurisdictions and so on. So I'm not sure. Probably it's a very, very conservative view if you have only one objective. On the other hand, I also would be in favor of two independent, if you have two independent boards, to have two independent objectives. It could well be that as a 2.C or something like that, then we would say, okay, the foundation is encouraging the board to exchange and so on and so on and so on. But just to avoid further challenges around that.
Good. Very good. Thank you. James, over to you.
Thank you, Bill. Specifically, I'm referring here to the use of IFRS
as described on slide 13, IFRS accounting standards and IFRS sustainability standards. And I suppose I have a concern with the use of the word IFRS with the sustainability standards. Firstly, IFRS denotes a financial reporting, which I think is already causing confusion when it comes to sustainability standards itself to users. On top of that, the concept of IFRS compliance is really a really important concept, and it's been legislated in some countries. Regulators require IFRS compliance in other countries. And it's not only listed entities that are IFRS compliant. In certain countries like my own, most companies would report on an IFRS basis. And I'm just wondering whether, Henry, you and the staff are considering the impact that the sustainability standards may have on current IFRS concepts, which are audited, etc., and how that would affect reporters going forward. And that really is my concern of sort of meshing the two standards with a common name being IFRS.
Henry, could I ask you to give us your view on that question? And then I will, I'll end the conversation. We'll take a very short break. Henry, is that okay?
I'm sorry, Bill. Unfortunately, I missed a lot of James's question. I got thrown out and then he just got reconnected at the end. So my sincere apologies, but I'm not sure I can comment.
I'll drop it on a line to you, Henry. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Let's break for very briefly, just for 5 minutes. We will come back in about 4:15 the hour. So that's 4 minutes. Sue and Nick, I hope I don't cut into your time too much, but with apologies in advance to Nigel, a question that hasn't yet been asked, but I know it comes up quite often, and that's what is the US view, or more specifically, what is the SEC's position? And Nigel, if I could ask you, without putting you on the spot, when we resume in about 5 minutes, if I could ask you to take the floor and give us a brief update, the SEC's position, and then at that point, after that, I will return to Sue and to Nick to give us an update on the technical readiness working group. All right, let us take about a 3 or 4 minute break. Thanks, everyone. See you back in a few minutes.